Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor from Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents to find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is Kyle Chang from Queens, New York. Kyle and I are at the RevB conference over in San Antonio, and we jumped on a podcast to share his story. So, Kyle, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Jamie. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I'm so excited to hear your story and get a little bit of your journey on the podcast. So start off by telling us where you work, how long you've been in the business, so we can get a little bit of your backstory.
Absolutely. So I'm your agent, Agent Kyle Chang. I service Long Island and Queens, specifically Nassau and Queens County. As of Monday, April 21st, 2025, this will be my 10th year in real estate. And I'm just really excited to be here with you in San Antonio and looking forward to chatting it up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So where we are is we're at a conference that's all about video. And what's oddly enough is we're not even on video for this podcast, but we've been able to share a lot of the videos and stuff from the podcast. So I appreciate you guys tuning in on that. But Kyle, start off by, I guess, telling us where you're at as well, because we're both at Real Broker. So tell us a little bit about your journey and how you joined us here at Real.
Sure, absolutely. So yes, I hang my license here at Real Broker. Has been here for just shy of 2 years now. Prior to that, I was with a larger brand name brokerage, was there for approximately 7 years. I came on to Reels, or at least the Reel came onto my radar when I saw kind of the creators that I was looking up to on Instagram and on Facebook and TikTok, saw them kind of making the shift over. So kind of in the way that, you know, there's something in the water and you see the ripple effect of that happening when these large stones start dropping. I started reading the patterns in that way. The branch managers who did sign me on, I had a relationship with them for 3 years prior to me even thinking about partnering up with them.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, you and I were chatting a little bit before the podcast, and you told me a little bit about your backstory and how you, I'll let you frame it out the way you want to frame it out, but you had kind of a mental health journey that you've been on over the last year, 2 years. So tell us a little bit about that, man, so we can get your insight on that and where you are in your journey.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Jamie, for giving me the opportunity to speak about it. And so I would say that just over the last year, my business has changed for two specific reasons. One, I took a step back, decided to reach out, speak to somebody about kind of the inner voice that was going on in my head, as well as figuring out that I cannot be alone in this. There has to be another way. There has to be something else out there that's going to help me be just a better version of myself, business, life, whatever it was, right? There was clearly some sort of mental block, and it could have been there for 9 years prior, yeah. Right? And so if I had maybe just listened to myself a little bit better or said, you know, hey, just give it one more day, one less time, right? I would have started on that journey. And yeah, seeking out therapy was one thing that has absolutely just, and you know, it sounds cliche, you know, no, but you don't know what you don't know. So I didn't know there were certain inner demons that I was competing with. I didn't know that they were subconsciously kind of getting in my way. So just having that conversation has been really uplifting in not only my personal life, but my business life as well. And the second thing is that, you know, I realized that this business, it's really tough to do it on your own. And I was doing it on my own for 9 years. And so I decided to join a team at the time. And since October of this year, not only am I happier at work, but I'm doing better off because my production has increased. And of course, yeah, I am going to make a little bit less because now I have more splits when it comes to being on a team. But the way I see it, if I'm doubling or quadrupling my business, who am I complaining to? Nobody.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit, because I think it's an important topic to get on as far as mental health in the business, because realtors have had a very tough 2024. Some of them are off to a very slow start in 2025. So it's important for realtors to have a great self-image, or again, we're so on our own in this business and we aren't always have the team to be able to plug into. And really, the success or the failure, still, even if you're on a team, comes down to you individually as a business owner. So tell us a little bit, maybe to get to help agents, tell us a little bit about that journey with the therapist and with the people you sought help from to help you in your journey. What were they telling you, or what kind of things were you struggling with? And maybe just so realtors can get some benefit from hearing how that therapist advised you.
Sure, I guess. Absolutely. And, you know, everybody's journey is going to be completely different. Remember, this is just specifically for me and why it really kind of opened my eyes to something. I think in all the industries I've ever been in, real estate is one where realtors are so afraid of change. They're so afraid of their business just changing one day, or having to learn a new technology or learn something new. And that compounds over time. You know, it compounded on me after even 10 years in the business of trying to do new things and seeing kind of what was working, not working, how come my business wasn't picking up. And so the reason that, you know, I got into therapy was more for personal reasons, but the way that it's helped my business is that it created this thought and this process for me to start taking in feedback a little bit differently, right? I think that the biggest thing that I took away from therapy, and I'm still taking away from it now, is this statement that I like to tell myself often when I am feeling overwhelmed, is that my feelings aren't always factual. And I think that's something that we don't really acknowledge and we don't put eyes on it, because like you may be feeling overwhelmed, or you may be feeling like you're not the right fit for a job, or that you're not doing as much as you possibly can, or that you're failing, right? But that's the truth is that may not be factual. So I think that it was really hard for me to kind of just separate those things over the last couple of years, as, you know, 2023 to 2024 was probably the hardest year of my journey. That's when I left the company that I was with for 7 years. I kind of had to regrow business from that. But yeah, just being in therapy and speaking to somebody just about my inner thoughts has been a real game changer.
Yeah, man, I love that, because it's even as guys, like we're both fathers and family leaders, yes, and sir, everything else. So it takes a big man to say, I need to talk to somebody.
Oh, right? Yeah,
because we're not used to talking to somebody, you know, kind of. So that's great that you were able to kind of identify that, okay, I need to do something about this.
Like the saying you say, Lego your ego, you got to Lego your ego sometimes. And that's a big one for me, you know, where I am, you know, in my family unit, I was the only one working for a very long time. So being the main, you know, provider in the family, that comes with its own social and economical pressures. But, you know, it's never something that I verbally said was such a, you know, so much pressure or such a weight on me, because you felt like you couldn't do that. So having therapy to also just get those feelings out, release the pressure of it for me, and just again, just it gets you out of your own way. And sometimes you really don't realize it, that you are I think most people do realize that they're their worst critic, but they don't realize that they're sometimes their biggest obstacle as well.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Because I'm the same way as you. I mean, I've been the sole provider for my family for the last 20 plus years that I've been in the business. So that comes with a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, parents are under a lot of massive pressure anyway to raise kids and do the right thing and all those things that you're trying to do. But I'm right there with you, man, as far as feeling like that, because there have been times in my business where you needed that sale to close so that you can pay that mortgage, or right, you needed that sale. And then ultimately what ends up happening, right? That sale falls apart. And kind of my solution to being a sole provider, the pressures that we feel as the sole provider for the family, and it could be guys or girls, really, anybody can have that pressure being the sole provider for their family. But what I really realized is I needed to show up in a way that was going to get me consistent business, and showing up in ways that I was going to work real estate just like any other job. And I was going to show up from 9 to 4:30 or 9 to 5 Monday through Thursday. I set my schedule and I said, no matter what's going to happen, I'm going to be doing real estate from that time. And I think a lot of realtors don't have a good schedule. They kind of get what they get from the market.
Yeah.
And that can come with some frustration because you're not operating it like a business. And I think that a lot of realtors really to have the kind of success in the long term that you need to have to go 20 years, to go 10 years in the business, that's a huge achievement as well, is it comes with, you know, putting the work in and not making excuses, you know, or that the market's bad, or it's that I'm not good enough. And, you know, these excuses fly around in your head and you're sometimes your own, like you said, your own worst critic, and you're just, man, I just have to do better, or man, I wish I would have done more. But the thing that I've been able to have some comfort in, at least in my own journey, is that I can't predict the future of my business, but I can predict what I'm going to do this week. And I can show up and work consistently in my business and on my business. And if I consistently show up and I consistently put things in the front side of the pipe, I'm going to get something on the back side of the pipe. And I think that a lot of realtors blame the market, or they just say I'm not good enough, or maybe my team's not good enough, or my brokerage is not good enough. And it really isn't fair to the person that you're blaming or the market, because it's your own, you got to get out your own way sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, listen, wherever market you're in, this may be a hot statement. I guarantee you that market doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
You know, the market doesn't care how you're feeling. The market doesn't care what you're saying about it. It's going to be whatever it's going to be. It's our job to best interpret it and to give our clients the guidance that they need to make the right decisions. And I love that what you had said there before, because I definitely was in that field, being one that does procrastinate quite a bit and didn't really have too much of a focus when it came to like scheduling and stuff like that. So that's why joining a team that already had those systems in places and had that kind of accountability to be like, hey, just by the way, we have these meetings on this day and this time, so structure everything kind of around those. That's given me the framework to be much more efficient. And I'm really grateful to the team leaders there that are showcasing that for me, as well as a lot of the agents at Real that I've met over the years. And I mean, again, it's not that I didn't meet great agents outside of Real in the last, you know, not 7 years prior, 8 years prior that I was in here, but everybody here, and I think a lot has to do with that, with the teachings of Sharon and the teachings of a lot of the kind of leadership here, of the dedication it takes to really build an amazing business, and they've built an incredible brokerage here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and look, I think a lot of agents just don't operate on a correct schedule. And I was talking to an agent about this in the hallway yesterday at the conference, and she was like, yeah, I'm so excited. I'm going to spend, you know, all my time doing this and video and all these other things. And I said, I think that video is great for our business. And I think that video is a game changer because it allows you to go from one to many.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that a lot of realtors get excited. They come to a conference like this. They get excited about video and they want to spend all their time building a TikTok channel or building a Instagram page or building a YouTube channel or building this, building that. And then they spend a lot of time on it, but they don't spend enough time in what will truly impact their business. for me, 81% of my transactions last year and 50 plus transactions came from my sphere of influence, mm-hmm. right? So if I was spending 80% of my time creating a YouTube channel, creating a TikTok channel, whatever it is, and not spending the time where the lion's share of my business comes from, then I am really neglecting the largest percentage of my business, which is my sphere of influence. So when we're talking about video and all these things that we're going to be changing after we're inspired by this great conference that we're at, is my video journey will be geared more towards my past clients. So instead of using Instagram to grow a new person in my world, I'm using Instagram to really niche down and reach my perfect avatar, which is somebody that's done business with me in the past. And I think that what a lot of people do is they get on Instagram and they're like, hey, I'm hoping to get new people in my world. And I don't think that they're focused in enough, but I do feel like a great schedule will definitely help you achieve your goals that you want to hit, whether you be on a team or anything. A great schedule is how you do that. So what are some things that are important to you? Let's talk about schedules. What are some things that are important to you about your schedule, and what are you now implementing with this team? Is there anything that y'all are, you know, you're kind of holding yourself accountable to?
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. And I'll talk on the schedule, and then I'll go back a little bit to what you had said on the video there thing. I thought you said something really interesting there. So in terms of scheduling right now, like the team, we have two pretty, you know, mandatory meetings per week. One is like a Monday morning power up, which is going to go over kind of what are the weekend activities that we've done, what are we looking to accomplish at the week, and how we can literally support each other doing that. Whether it's, all right, I want to go door knock in this neighborhood, who's coming with me, where are we getting the flyers, etc., and implementing that, putting it into the schedule and getting it done. The other part of that is we will do once every month, we'll have team call nights where we're all going to get together, and we're not cold calling anybody. We're just diving into our databases and opening up those opportunities there. So, and then the other thing that's really great is every single meeting, we always start with the win. We always start with our wins because we want to celebrate our wins, no matter how big, no matter how small, whether they're personal, whether they're in business. You start doing that and you start talking about your wins, the ideas is that your brain is going to start looking for them more often. So you have to put it out there. You have to put yourself into a position where your mindset is looking for those wins, because that's how they start happening for you on top of the work that you have to do to get them to. Going more off of what you had said there. Yeah, I love what you'd said that you want to, you know, really focus in on your niche audience there, right? And I think that's great for someone like you who's had a big book of business over the last 20 years. What I would maybe say to anybody that's listening to this who hears that and goes, well, I don't have any past clients, I don't have any of that, right? It doesn't mean that you can't be intentional with your video, right? You have to know, and I love you use the word avatar, right? You need to know exactly who you want to be talking to, because yes, any agent, I think, can go in to a house with their phone right now, get a gimbal, right? Get a stabilizer, walk through the house, do a house tour, and they can also enter, you know, a description into ChatGPT and say, hey, make me a great video walkthrough script. Literally any agent can do that. It's the intentional ones, the ones that have a goal, have an idea of who exactly they're talking to. Those are the ones that are going to be the most successful at it.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my sessions yesterday that I was looking forward to more than anything else was Alyssa Kernut, and she is from Spokane, Washington. And she actually was funny in her presentation. She said that she was a former newscaster,
right?
Which I thought was so awesome, right? And you could tell that she has some great skills on video, of course. But the thing I loved from her presentation was she really dialed in her people that she was qualified to serve, which I thought that was so awesome. And she was like, hey, I'm qualified to serve moms from 35 to 50 with kids from the age ranges, this to this. Mm-hmm. And like, really with that is like, if you're not speaking to anyone, then you're not speaking to anyone. It's like, you know, like it's kind of like that. Whereas like she can do everything from the frame of I'm a mom and I want to highlight things that my friends would be interested in doing. She even talked about her like Christmas light tour mm-hmm. thing that she puts out, and she puts it out on Instagram that, hey, I've got all the Christmas lights for Spokane and send me a comment Christmas or whatever, right. and I'll send you the map to mm-hmm. all of the Christmas lights. So I think that when you're doing video, you have to look at like exactly like who am I talking to? Who am I hoping sees this message? And then that way you can really, really get some impact on it. And that's why it's so awesome to like have a podcast like this where we're not talking about anything other than realtor growth and how realtors can grow their business. So Kyle, I guess tell me what you took away from yesterday. Let's talk about RevB a little bit. What was your favorite takeaways from day one of RevB conference?
I think the biggest takeaway for me is one, probably guilty of not knowing it, but I've probably been comparing myself to a lot of not only just the people that were speaking on stage, but to maybe even other realtors who I saw were getting a little bit more success on Instagram and Facebook than I was. And so I'm going to take what Miss Beth said, the idea of take comparison, reframe it as curiosity. And I'm going to start reaching out to people. Like one thing that Roland and Matt were doing that I'm terrified to do is reach out to other agents to film their properties. And I know because I think it's going to be a no and I think it's going to be a waste of time. But now I'm going to reframe that and I'm going to be curious as to why are they not filming their properties? They should be, right? Yeah. How come they're not doing it? And I am going to be the guy who's going to be the savior for them and be like, hey, I guess you don't want to do this. So I'm going to do it for you and I'm going to shout you out and I'm going to make a great video and we're going to sell this house. How does that sound? And that's going to be my approach.
Yeah, no, I dig it. And coming to them from the frame of mind of collaboration on some things. So yeah, so like on the Roland and Matt thing, so it's Roland Osage and Matt Pacciullo. Both of these two guys are from the Bay Area in San Diego area, and they are, or maybe it's San Francisco.
San Francisco. Yeah.
I had it wrong. Anyway, yeah, San Francisco.
We'll edit it out.
Yeah, the Bay Area, you know, it's California, man. I'm from Louisiana. We're from the South. We don't know anything about that. Anyway, but what was awesome is these guys are doing long form videos on TikTok.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely crushing it. I'm talking both of these guys have over 100,000 followers on TikTok. I went into that class and that session like thinking that TikTok is just for kids. And I guess that's just my mindset. I just thought, oh, it's a platform that people are scrolling. They aren't paying much attention. Why would I as a realtor be interested in doing TikTok? And after hearing the way that those guys are doing it, creating long form 7 minute plus videos on TikTok, getting like crazy amount of engagement, crazy amount of leads. I think they said they closed like $44 million worth of production. And from this, you know, from this platform. And I'm like, that is just insane. So that was the session I think that really maybe was a game changer for me and opened my eyes up to both TikTok and YouTube Shorts as a potential growth pattern for my business. They even removed to me the barrier for entry, which is how do you even shoot these videos? Mm-hmm. So when they got into how they shoot the videos, I was like, these guys are absolutely genius. They will send a message to a listing agent on a property that they think they'd like to include on their TikTok tour or whatever, and they'll schedule the appointment in a regional area and do 7 shoots at the same time.
Nuts. Amazing.
And they batch it all together and they spend one afternoon a week or one morning a week doing these tours with their cell phones. And all they do is go out and film the content, and then they go back and overdub the audio over the top of it. So I'm like, man, absolute genius, super simple process. And I was just blown away by that.
No, yeah, it's an incredibly tactical, useful amount of their time. When you think about it, they probably spend maybe 20 to 30 minutes per property, 7 properties in a day. That right there, what, 210 minutes, right? So that's a good, you know, 2, maybe 3 hours right there, right? And that's it. They spend that time. They have not only a ton of content to use and drip out for that whole week, but that is that one-to-many while still having a really intentional person they're talking to. They're talking to home buyers. And I think that the one thing that home buyers really, really want after all the NAR settlement discussions, after all the different changes, all the different paperwork they have to sign now, just to even like almost speak to a real estate agent, they just want access.
Yeah.
What is more accessible than a TikTok video? Nothing.
Yeah, I love that. And then what was awesome too is I talked to Roland and Matt after, and I was like, guys, y'all opened my mind, man. I'm fired up. Like, you got me kind of sparked up about it. It blindsided me because I wasn't expecting to have it, just with my mindset going into the session. But I was like, man, Roland, give me some meat, baby. Give me some meat. What do you think that I should focus on? And he said, man, the real secret sauce of this deal is, he said, man, I played around with shooting these older homes, or I played around with shooting these kind of generic, you know, more like cookie cutter kind of things or older properties. He's like, man, even if you got to get out of your market a little bit, and really the secret sauce is the home itself. He's like, man, if you can find these amazing homes with character, even if it's an older home, focus on those homes, and then really the home itself is attractive. It doesn't even matter what you say. You can have a fun vibe. You can walk through it. But what I like too is he framed it out and he said, like, walk through it not like you're the listing agent. Walk through it like you're like the buyer's right? agent.
Yeah, amazing.
And I'm like, man, such a simple little thought with video. And it was such a simple little change, right? Sometimes we're doing our listing videos and we're like, oh, it's a, you know, 3-2, blah, 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 it's this and that. And we're highlighting it from the frame of the seller, and we're not highlighting it from the frame of what the potential buyer on TikTok or YouTube or whatever would be listening to it. So if anybody's listening to this too, and you're making listing tours, you're making everything else, change that one thing. Mm-hmm. When you're speaking, I'm not speaking to impress the seller on how great of a promotion that I'm doing to their home. I'm speaking to a potential buyer who is looking at this home online. Game changer right there for sure. I would say this, because we're getting a little bit tight on time,
yep,
but the goal of the podcast is to give encouragement to other realtors. Speak to an agent who may have had a tough 2024 and a tough start to 2025. And with your journey that you're on right now and self-improvement, speak to that agent and really give them a little spark, man. Give them a little something from your experiences and your journey, and then we'll close it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the spark that I can give them right now is, remember why you got into this business. Remember what your values are, and just seek help. Like, I think we're all in the same boat, and I think that once you start realizing that you have colleagues in this business, not competitors, and that as long as you're willing to let your shield down a little bit, share as much as possible without any intention of getting anything in return, once you do that, like I said before, just let go of your ego a bit. I think that the world opens up like the most beautiful pearl in an oyster. That's the right thing there, right?
Yeah.
And I think that once you figure out whether it's talking to somebody else, whether it's talking with your family, whether it's journaling, whatever it is, get these thoughts out of your head, put them somewhere, and just be intentional and really just seek help and make sure that you're willing to work with others.
Yeah, man. Kyle, I love that, dude. And I really appreciate you being vulnerable, man, because as guys, you don't let our guard down sometimes, or we act like we have it all together. And, you know, as realtors, man, we need to band together because we're in completely different parts of the U.S., but we're coming together on, you know, a very important topic. So come to stuff like this, reach out to your coworkers, reach out to other people in the business. People in this business are so happy to help. And what I've found is that I've almost never had anyone say, no, Jamie, I won't be on your podcast. I've almost never had that. Every single person I've asked if they'd like to be a part of the podcast to help other realtors has said, absolutely, Jamie, I'd love to do it. So it's like that, man, even from the top tier of our real estate business. And that's what I found in my journey of 50 plus episodes of the podcast, is that realtors of every level, lower, higher, top producers, not top producers, team members, everybody is willing to help everybody else. So just like you said, put your shield down.
Yeah.
Get out your own way. Ask the questions. Be vulnerable. So guys, I really, really appreciate y'all listening to the podcast. Please share this podcast with somebody that may have had some struggles in the business. They may be down and out right now and maybe, you know, having some anxiety and really just wondering if this is for them. This may be the turning point that they hear. And, you know, maybe they reach out to Kyle and find out some of the things that he did in his business to change and get put himself on the right trajectory. So, guys, I sure hope that you're enjoying it. Please do us a favor. Share this podcast with a friend. Tag somebody in the post. Kyle and I will be sharing some of the different highlights of the episode. I'll put Kyle's contact information in the details of the podcast. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.